1, 2, 3, 4.
Attention musicians, wouldn't you like to hear your music on vinyl, even if it was just one copy of one of your favorite albums that never came out on vinyl? Well, you can do it, and our friends at Austin Signal can help you. Austin Signal is a high-quality recording studio and vinyl cutting facility located just 15 minutes outside of Austin. In addition to traditional modern recording services, the studio also specializes in some very unique offerings, including short-run vinyl production, single mic recording, and direct-to-disc recording. Gang, I've done it, and it sounds great. Just go to austinsignal.com, click on the How Did I Get Here on their menu, or follow the link in the text of this podcast. When you get there, enter promo code HDIGH for 10% off vinyl cutting. That's right, 10% off with the promo code HDIGH. Today's featured vinyl cut from Austin Signal is from Austin artist Big Cedar Fever, from their Single Mic Series EP Cut at Austin Signal. Let's get down.
I left Corina far across the sea. I left Corina far across the sea. She didn't write me no letter. She didn't care for me.
You may ask yourself, well, how did I get here?
It's time for How Did I Get Here? And now here is your host.
Hello, I'm Johnny. I'm your host. Welcome to a very special edition of How Did I Get Here? You know, when I was a little kid, I used to come to Austin with my mom, and I remember one time when I was like 5 or 6 or something, we were staying with some friends of theirs, and the grown-ups all went out, and I stayed behind with a dude that watched me, and he said, "Hey, you want to watch the show they're going to on TV?" And I was like, "Sure." So I remember that. I remember watching the show and thinking, "Oh, my mom and my stepdad are there, and they're watching this movie, or this band play, sorry." And I was watching it on TV. Well, I found out later that was cable access. And when I came back, when I moved to Austin in the mid-80s, I used to, you know, channel surf a bit around and get on the cable access, watch some, you know, they had shows that featured bands and bands that were making videos that were locally produced. That was interesting. And then I moved away after my mom died. And when I moved back in 1991... I used to tune into this show that was hosted by a gentleman named Dave Pruitt and his friend, Nasty Nathan Olivares. That's what he went by back then. Now he's just Nathan. Anyway, I used to watch that show whenever I could on Saturday nights. And I wanted to be on that show. I got turned on to tons of bands from that show, or artists as well, like Kevin Gant. I saw him on there. I saw Hamill on Trial on there. I saw the last Bill Hicks interview that he did while he was alive on there with Dave, just Dave and Bill. It's out there. You can see it. It's pretty amazing. I saw Mad Hatter, who turned out to be Push Monkey later, and I wanted to be on that show. And finally, in 1993, when my band Mr. Rockababy got together, we got to go on there. They took callers. People would call in and say as many bad words as they could before they got hung up on, and we got to sit there and answer the calls with them, and I got to meet Dave. And then Dave and Nathan came out and shot Mr. Rockababy at Steamboat. And then I started seeing Dave around doing a show from time to time with different bands I was playing with throughout the 90s. And then I went back when he took his show off in 2007. So basically for 30 years, you know, from 1989 till now, Dave Pruitt has had a show on Access Television. He took a break there for a little while, for like 7 years, but now he had another show on there called Dave TV. But Capsize, he had on Saturday nights. He had a show called Raw Time on Tuesdays. Used to watch them all, and I used to catch up on the local music, see what was going on in the scene. And Ray Segrin, I wrote a thing on Facebook, and Ray Segrin pointed it out that he was the social media before we knew we needed a social media. You knew who was playing where, people come on and promote their shows. It was just an awesome thing, okay? And Dave's a super fan. He doesn't play music. He doesn't try to push his agenda on anyone. He's just been out there supporting bands, doing all this stuff, and not getting paid a cent to do it. He's just doing it out of his love for music and wanting to be involved with it. So anyway, we've been great pals since 1993, been great pals with Nathan Olivares. And it turns out that Dave has found love in his life, and he is going to move to Norfolk, Virginia. So this is leaving this huge vacuum here. This is like he's leaving Austin. He hasn't left Texas since he was like five, since he moved here. He hasn't even left Texas. So he's moving to Norfolk, Virginia. And he's going to continue doing Dave TV. He's going to get involved in the scene up there. He's got a YouTube channel. You can find him at davetv.org. Find it. Find him and follow him. Nathan has his band, Stupid Drama. He does a lot of shows around Nathan Olivares. But anyway, I wanted to have them both over to sit down and let's just talk about the last 30 years and everything that he gave to the Austin music scene and what he got out of the Austin music scene. And just to let him know, I'm going to miss him. And Nathan breaks down crying a couple of times. Nathan's still going to be around, but he's not going to have a show. Dave's going to move away, but he'll still have a show. So go to davetv.org, get involved with it. I love Dave, and I love Nathan. And Dave has meant a lot to me. He's always been there. He's been very, very supportive of everything I've done since we met. And I've been a big fan of his. He's been a big fan of mine. I love him. He loves me. I love Nathan. He loves me. We had a great conversation. I hope you enjoy it. And you're wondering maybe why this show is dropping on Saturday night at 11. Well, that's what time Capsize used to be on. So in one last hurrah for Capsize, Raw Time, Dave TV, all the things that Dave Pruitt has brought to this town with his friend Nathan Olivares, we're celebrating it in this podcast. So enjoy my conversation with these two just extremely unique characters. What makes Austin, Austin? This is Dave Pruitt and Nathan Olivares and me chatting it up, saying goodbye. Let's get down.
Well, fuck it. If you're going to go,
yeah,
at your own hand.
Totally.
Yeah.
So you play guitar, John?
I do, it turns out. Right. I do. And you might have seen me do it once or twice. Can I read a couple things? I reached out this afternoon to, or before I left to rehearsal, about people, see if they have any questions or anything to say about...
Nathan's running it now. See what happens when you bring Nathan around?
I know.
He is.
This is going to be heartfelt and beautiful.
Go okay. Ahead. So this is from Ray Segrin.
Oh, all right. Ray.
Legendary radio guy says, really looking forward to hearing this from two of my all-time favorite people in a lot of ways, and this is one of the best compliments I've ever gotten. Johnny Gowdy's How Did I Get Here podcast is the 21st century equivalent of Dave Pruitt's legendary Austin Access call-in show Capsize. Dave wasn't just the guy who gave a spotlight to the scene and a voice to its talent. He was our one-man social network before we even knew that was a thing. Dave is moving to Virginia to be with his sweetheart. Her gain is our loss. Safe travels, my friend.
Hey, Virginia is for lovers, right?
Yes, it is.
Yes, sir. Oh, that's awesome. I love, you know, I don't know if Ray, he oftentimes forget that I kind of, my first voice in media in Austin was because Corey and Ray didn't want to be tied down to the studio because they had to do that due to the UT requirements and all and run
right,
the
right.
radio show. So they asked me to sit in while they went out and, you know, covered the scene for research.
Yeah.
So I was on the air at, you know, KVRX.
Oh, really?
Which was KTSB doing the metal show, which was Corey and Ray's show, prior to doing Dave TV, Capsize, Raw Time, anything.
What year
TV.
Was that?
That'd have to be about 88, wow. 89. I have cassettes.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ray Segrin.
Yeah.
Yes.
A great dude. All right, let me read a couple more and then we'll get into this conversation because these are really sweet. So Tommy Taylor, legendary drummer from Christopher Cross and Eric Johnson, says, thank God he got into video when he did. His archive is the true historical memoir of an epic portion of Austin's musical legacy. And of course, it's Tommy Taylor, so it ends with whatever that is worth.
Absolutely. You know, what can you say about Tommy Taylor? That guy and I definitely have a love-hate vibe that kind of runs passionately through the both of us. Though. Right? I love Tommy, and we both hate equally in certain passion things that are similar. So I love his passion, and his musicianship is unquestionable.
Yeah. Yeah, it really is. And Eric Lycom, another radio guy, says, thanks, Dave, for documenting the scene as you did when you did. Your contribution to Austin music culture is immeasurable. All the best in your next chapter. Brian Dunn, who used to live here, moved to New York. Oh, man, my band never had a bigger champion and better friend than Dave. Won't be quite Austin without him. And, of course, the great Lance Keltner says, love you, Dave. Thanks for everything you did for all of us. And then Tom Meaney's going to miss you. But then you guys get into some sad John Mayer thing, which I think I'm going to have to delete.
Probably would be good in doing so, I promise. He'll be putting naked pictures of him up there before you know it.
Yeah. So did you guys start out together, you and Nathan?
Actually, no. I was on the air probably, I'll say at best a year before we started bringing Nathan on as a part of the show. In that first year, we covered his band, and we did an interview in the middle of this park. It sounded kind of like, like that.
So, yeah.
So that was my first meeting with him, and there's actually the second time I saw his band. The day Stevie Ray Vaughan died, and I went to the back room and shot, and right at the end of the video, you can actually hear one of Nathan and I's very first conversations, you know, hey man, love your band, whatever, I got the show, you want to come down, kind of thing. So that's kind of, you know, archivalist.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, so that was the second time, not the first, but so that had to put you at about 1990, June?
We hung out.
When Stevie passed.
Yeah.
Yeah, we hung out before, and he kept saying, you know, you oughta, and I was going, yeah, whatever. I'd never even heard of it, you know,
right.
or TV, or it was like new.
Right, right.
And so, but we got together, and we smoked, and had a great time together.
Yeah.
So that, we started off as friends, laughing at the same stupid shit,
you know,
laughing at the scene, laughing at the dudes who had their glitter pants on with her panties on the outside back then.
Talk about Rocket Baby like that, dude.
No, but it was a good vibe, man. And then when I finally got to do it, you know, been there since 1990, and I took a couple of breaks. I, you know, spun off on drugs and whatever, but it was a blast.
Yeah.
It's been a riot.
Yeah.
And then to be there, I don't think there's a bigger champion.
Yeah.
To, you know, sit there, and sometimes, a lot of times, it was just me and him.
Yeah.
Rolling cable and fucking moving cameras and taking phone calls. And
it's an honor to be here the second time. I think the first time we talked about how we got on. So when I got back on, there was no question that I wanted to involve Nathan. You know, that was the next chapter. So
That was a big, you guys were a team. Like, it's just funny to people that don't know and might be hearing your name for, like, younger people that didn't know that Access was a thing. You know, as big, like in Austin, I talked to Eddie Wilson and Jesse.
Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. And Jesse. And I'm sorry, he's my friend and I'm drawing a blank. But I talked to Eddie Wilson and you know, like Access in Austin was around in like the 70s, early mid 70s, like 74, 75. They were broadcasting shows from
Jesse
Sublett. Thank you.
God
sorry,
bless
Jesse
Sublett.
Yeah.
I knew right away when you started talking about the period, we had to be talking about Jesse Sublett.
Yeah, and I've read and had him on for three of the books that he's written, including that one. So
amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing guy.
He, anyway, so here was this established thing that people did used to watch, and it was an underground kind of punk rock thing. Your approach, both of you guys, it was like you had the bands, you didn't have publicists coming at you.
Well, unless Nathan said the wrong thing, and it was not for the right reasons.
Well, let me kind of start this. This vision has always been Dave's.
Right.
Right, you know. The cool thing is that I was, I'm not going to cry.
Yeah, I was worried about all of us doing that.
No, but to be included.
Yeah.
And to be right there. But this has always been Dave's vision. And I was just, had the time and dumb enough and made the decision to do this with him.
Right.
But this has always been Dave's vision.
Yeah.
So whenever you say, did you start it together? No, that's not the case. I was there from like...
early on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But this has always been Dave's vision.
Yeah. And you guys were a team to me as a person before I met you, and I was just watching the show. Like, looking at you guys now, it's like, I want to call all my friends from back then, like, guess who's hanging out at my house right now?
Farmer. Call my number right now.
You fucking country, are you fat dude? What's up?
If I could take calls on the show, I totally would. That was one of my favorite things about yours. I was telling Scott about that today, and I was telling the guys at Skyrocket at rehearsal, Benjamin from Real Heroes, and now I'm drawing a blank on his 90s band.
Benjamin
Hotchkiss.
I forgot who Benjamin played with them. Right, yeah, yeah. Now see you getting me.
I'll remember their name. Anyway, we were talking about the best things about it, and I was telling Trish and Darren that the first time I was on this Rocket Baby, and we were like, oh, we're going to take calls? Oh, awesome. And like the second question was like, I got a question for the guy in the top hat. And that was me, and I was like, oh, yeah, go ahead. He's like, why are you such a faggot? And it was all I wanted when I went on that show. I was like, oh, God, that's like a present from heaven.
Oh, my God, I'm a fan.
Oh, that's great.
But it's so...
You can't say that.
Yeah. Right. No, you can't say that anymore. Right. No.
But it happened back then.
And it was funny. Yeah.
Absolutely, man.
We get on each other about what you can and you can't say, and he scolds me a lot.
And then I showed Willie Nelson and who was it?
Sammy Hagar
doing the same
thing. Stealing our shtick.
You stole our shtick, sons of bitches.
So back then, let me ask you guys, you guys were out all the time. I used to see you at Steamboat and other places around town all the time once I got to know you guys. And did people recognize you, obviously, and they came up to you, and what did they say?
Well, it's varied from year to year, bro. You know, it's like, so Backroom was my haunt to begin with, you know, which was great to get started, and friendships and music and all of it was amazing, you know. Then... as you would want to do if you're going to stay beyond that one thing, you have to go somewhere else. So Steamboat, Babes became...
Yeah.
So that was like my trio there for a while. And then the Backroom went all new metal for a while, so I just went to Steamboat and Babes.
Right.
But when I say these venues, we're talking about covering every week probably 3 to 5 bands at each venue.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'd have a band play on the show or two.
Right.
And so in a week, we'd cover... 10 bands, and every week that would be the case. So that's how we did our first thing, you know, and that's how we bulked it out.
I remember doing like a whole shoot at Steamboat one time with you guys. We did interviews trucks. Upstairs.
You fill up trucks with these big cases and just... Now we roll with little can roll in, and Dave's got the audio gear. He's got extra lights in case, and little, we're running 4K, you know, the little GoPros. But back then, you used to fill up a truck, roll it all in, cables, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a to-do.
Yeah.
I was very fortunate that a lot of people helped Dave with that. So I was able to come in on Saturday and just be the face of the show, which was cool. But there was a lot of people who filmed. Dave was in charge. We had Madame Scorpio. We had
James and
Leg, Marcy,
who passed away, and Dale, and just the early crew. But kind of maybe you being the face could answer more to the kind of what I'm building by the fact that you know, step one, of course, you go to that bar, you're going to get recognized. Backroom was all the time.
Yeah.
But it took a while, like I'd go to Liberty Lunch or Steamboat or whatever at that time period, and it was like, maybe, maybe not. You know, they knew me, they didn't say anything.
Yeah.
But once I did that trio, that's where things just, in all those bands, every week, that's where things like just exponentially multiplied.
Yeah.
Because then, I'd say maybe as early as... 90, I'll be generous and say 94 for sure. So we're thinking 3 to 4 years after I even decided to be on TV. I was going out places and it was consistent.
Yeah.
Hey, that guy. And I saw this thing. And da, 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 da. Yeah. I was like, wow, cool. By 96 or 7,
it was on.
Having dinner with my family was a little difficult.
Yeah.
And it was great.
Yeah.
But I never dreamed.
Well, you guys were like these underground folk heroes. That like that people really felt like you were their friends. Like when I finally met you guys, I figured we were already friends because I felt like I knew you. You know
exactly.
And like everybody watched the show. I remember going to people's houses after something, and like the last hour of Capsize would be on, and it would be on in the background.
And that was gold. What we did, we could stay on to 3 or 4 in the morning, and now
people
it access
would play, right?
Yeah,
they kind of play, and they would haul ass to the show, right?
Yeah,
we were able to booze and drink and have a great time.
Close the 2 a.m.
Yeah, and people would go home after their show and call in, and their friends would be up there in the background while David and I were cutting up, playing pretty much the shows that we just shot.
Yeah,
and it was a great time, because that's whenever South By was starting out, and it was about the underground. Just the whole Austin vibe then was a lot different than it is now.
Yeah.
And I'm not complaining. I'm just saying it is different. But man, it was way great to. But see, also we got in a lot of shit because of it. I had no filter on my mouth.
No,
and so Dave caught a lot of shit.
Yeah.
Some publicist would come in and I'd say, "Hey, man, Dave, cut right now. Cut, fuck this video." Mm-hmm. And the band would walk out, and Dave would cut the video, and I'd go, "That band that was just in here, I'm fucking the most unprofessional band, rock star wannabe motherfuckers that ever lived, blah, 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 blah." And then Dave went, "Blip," and he would flip the video back on. And the next video, he would say,
"I did that with Blur, just so you know."
What was it?
Did? Yeah. Thank you, because they were mean to us.
Yeah. What was it? What did the 92. Disclaimer say?
Get the fuck out of here.
The disclaimer would say, The views and expressions of the host is not really necessarily the, so
right.
That would come up on the video,
right,
so
right.
You know,
so coming back, I didn't want to duplicate anything I'd done, but you, as a unique piece of this whole puzzle, actually were one of the first artists I worked with as Dave TV instead of Capsize.
Right,
to sit down
right.
Talk acoustic, you know, kind of thing. So you've been like from,
it's like 5 years ago.
You know, yeah. I think maybe six, seven, yeah, right, yeah. In that time frame, absolutely. Yeah. And still, I think going back, I don't know how many people I still worked with through the changes in what we've done that have had something going at that time frame. So it's really unique for us to sit down and kind of talk, because you know the references that we're talking about.
Oh, totally.
So I didn't want to come back and do Capsize, and I never at that time in life wanted to do Dave TV as the name because of the David Lee Roth video, and that's never going to go away. But it's a little different in,
well, his
2014
died.
Or whatever. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
when we, as we talked the first time I was here, got this thing together and needed a name, and I just wanted it to be clear that it wasn't Capsize, because I'm not going to play the archives, and I'm about today's music scene and moving forward. We went with Dave TV, you know? So
I thought Nathan TV was a great idea.
He tried so hard. And I said, "Well, you're going to have to give up the band." He said, "Ah,
Dave TV it is."
Dave TV it is.
Yeah, you know, and then it kind of peaked again, because, of course, I'd gotten to a point where no one really knew who I was and everything again, and that was kind of cool and all. But, like, going out again, you know, now it's great. People are still like, "Hey, I watched the thing." Now, I'm not trying to be dark. It's all light. I love the light.
Yeah.
But I do talk to a lot of people who like the memory of.
Yeah.
You know, they're like, "Oh, that's awesome. You're still doing the show." And,
yeah.
Like, "Yeah, what's the last band you seen?"
Well, the thing also is, man,
I wasn't planned on the show. I didn't watch.
Whenever we get there to the club, I mean, when Dave walks in, he's usually just getting off work.
Right.
And so there are some bands that he wants to. And I'll maybe, if I'm lucky, take a couple of one-camera things. But when Dave comes, he hits the ground fucking running. He's got to plug into the board. He's got to do all of that shit. Set up his mics. If the lights need to, he has extra lights if needed. And so he gets there, sets everything up. And the hard part is when people don't understand that we're working there.
Yeah.
And I know that it's love. And I know that it's... But almost want to get the t-shirt that says, you know, "Hey, fucker, I'm working," or whatever, you know.
You never get that after a gig, do you? Like when you're on stage trying to take your gear down?
Or Or even while I'm playing. "Hey, it's my friend Dave's birthday."
Dude, I don't even. "Hey, cool. My hair, would you play Come Back Devil Georgia thing?"
But
I would get that a lot.
Dig what he's doing. It's over. So my job for about the last year and a half was just to keep people away from Dave while he was working.
I hate to do that much work recently, but he's not lying.
But it's for the past couple of years, it has been work. The things have shifted to where Dave didn't have the patience to be able to talk to people. So I took that role on. And the hard part with that is I play the middleman. Well, am I going to get the 4K, blah, 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 with a 2-cent faking it out
the
board?
Yeah.
I don't know. Hold on. Hey, Dave. They're asking if we can get the 2K fucking thing. He fucking blah, blah, man. No references and off of the board. Whatever the fuck that means, right? I mean, it's all French, you know? But it's been heavy and to finally realize what the fuck he had to deal with for 28 years and I'm complaining about the last two, you know?
Yeah.
But it's amazing. But with that being said... The love and the respect, especially now, because after every show, Dave and I look at each other and you know, we have the behind the scenes camera and then we have what's going out broadcast. And man, once we turn it down and it's all down and the lights come up, man, Dave and I look at each other and we fucking high five each other.
Yeah.
Because it's like, fucking, that was on. That was smart. That was fucking exactly why we're doing this fucking show.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Talking about one day guitar pedals, the next day talking about writing songs, the next day about sucking live or whatever.
Right, right.
Really, and because Dave is there documenting it and I'm there doing it, I think our dynamic was really, really fucking cool.
Yeah.
And people were starting to respect that a lot. So much that Dave, I wear a mask for my allergies. I am completely allergic to fucking water, you know? And so my eyes puff up. I can't sing. So I found a way to get past that, especially here in the Hill Country.
Yeah.
Dave was being recognized so much that he decided to try these masks on also so he could walk around incognito, right? And he took a couple. But see, Dave didn't pick like the black one or the gray one. He picked the one with the super stripes and the fucking weird things, you know? It's like, hey, is that Dave with the fucking weird mask on?
Right.
You know? But it got to where it was starting to be so silly not being able to go out and just be. And we understand that that is recognition. You understand that that comes out of love from people.
Sure.
I want to get an Adam Temple mask. They'll leave me alone.
Yeah, they do.
but then for sure, it is, what would be the word? Obtrusive without sounding like an asshole.
It's right, right,
like,
right. Yeah.
Because you want that recognition. That's why you do it all.
Sure.
But it's more for Dave about fucking the show.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great that you watch a show.
Yeah.
Or people would walk up and say, hey man, when can we get my band on your show?
Right.
And your answer is, dude, we haven't done that in 4 seasons.
Yeah.
You know?
We shifted into a format where we go out and cover 4 bands every week instead of one in the studio for 45 minutes. And we don't put bands in the studio anymore. And the last year of the show was that. But we always get people who want to come
about it.
play in the studio this week.
Yeah. Right.
So I think that's the difficult part, but yeah, man, it's always good to, like Dave said, mic drop on top.
But yeah.
As much as you can.
You know?
Yeah.
And it really feels like, and that's the hard part for myself is letting go right when it's time to fucking keep kicking ass, you know?
Yeah.
And here's the thing. It's not going to stop, right? What's going to stop is the Austin eye, if that makes sense. The eye into Austin's underground.
Yeah.
Now, it's been taken for granted so much that it's fucking going somewhere else. And it's kind of like the attitude I think Austin has, period, right now, is that you want to be a part of it. You want to be a part of it. You say you're a part of it, but you really don't know what the fuck is going on because you got other shit going on.
The thing I would say, though, while you're not wrong, is that there are some fires here, man. Janina, band in my bedroom. You've got Cobra Bobby with Cobra Cast.
Yeah.
You have people doing podcasts much like yourself, preaching their passion about whatever that is. If it's not my scene, that's cool. Someone else has seen. It's fine. What
I'm not trying to be negative. I'm just trying to say the things that I think people really want to know, like the truth. Because you know, the truth is that it was being taken for granted. And the truth is this town takes things for granted that other people do not have.
Yeah.
You know? And it's a drag. I will not quit flying the Austin flag. I'm sure you won't either, you know? But it is a great, great loss. And people expecting it to still be there after 30 years and really not participating. And that's the hard part. And I think that's why. But our shows were getting better. Every show, Dave would send me the digits.
Oh, the numbers.
Or whatever, the numbers were just like, dude, we tripled what we fucking did.
Oh, so you guys could
the Facebook part, you can monitor that nobody's business.
But
and
not,
the YouTube.
Not in the 90s and stuff, though, right?
We can't monitor the TV part.
Right.
So
right.
when he refers to that, it's about the live, behind-the-scenes webcasts, the replays, and the YouTube.
Right.
The live TV part, whether it's Spectrum or Time Warner, has always refused to allow any access to numbers. I don't know what's up with that. That's a whole nother thing.
Did you guys ever meet Alex Jones down there?
Oh, Alex was my buddy for years. He's been on the show several times.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I've never seen him on the show.
Oh, man, he'd ask all the time, and I'd have to be like, well, dude, you know the drill, man. You know, if I give you the look, you got to pull back. We got to cut to video, man. And, you know, we're going to reel it in, and I'm running it. And he's like, yeah, go.
Yeah.
Come on, and man, there's a couple clips on YouTube I can send you if you want to see.
Yeah, I'd love to see him.
And, he was a good cat. I have never... with the press being what it is and me not having personally spoke to Alex in years, I still want to hold in my mind the passionate guy that I called my friend.
Yeah.
So I can't jump on any hate bus. I know you look at it and you go, whoa.
Yeah.
He really? Well, maybe it was, I don't know. But I know Alex, you know?
Yeah.
He was a great guy. We spent a lot of time together. And,
very passionate, scary.
Yeah.
Scary. His enthusiasm is almost fucking scary.
Yeah.
Back when I first met him, I'm a big guy, almost picking me up, you know? That's fucking scary. But this is my take on Alex. He's a good dude, but he found the bad wrestler mask.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? To put it in like regular people terms, he found that golden mask that he can put on and turn into that thing that is, you know.
Well, and for his thing to work, he has to be famous. And for him to be famous, he has to say outrageous things. And so that's there he is.
I probably shouldn't say the real story is behind Alex Jones' ex-wife at Access.
Oh, no.
Because you might have to edit that out.
No.
hey, and, did you just...
did you remember Zendik?
God, yeah.
Jeez, I was just trying to think of all that weird stuff that was going on.
Man.
Oh, what about Dana? Remember Dana's show?
Absolutely.
Remote Generation?
Yeah,
was that it?
Yeah, I talk to Dana all the time. She's rocking Funner now. And she's got her own solo, like... project with Eric. It's she's passion in music. She actually works in the industry now, so I know she's
what does
that.
She do?
I won't get something. It wrong, but it's C3 something.
Oh, awesome.
So yeah,
that's good.
Yeah
Holler.
right. No, so Dana, she's still, you know, out there. And you know, back to Remote Generation, where Dana kind of and I crossed paths with Danheim. He's in San Antonio doing EDM stuff.
Oh, he is.
Yeah,
I miss that guy. He was always a nice guy. All of you guys, it was such a great homey place. You know who I saw a few years ago, real quickly, and then we'll get off of just the Access stuff from the 90s, because there was so much that was so entertaining
forever.
On there. Yeah. Remember the guy that used to play with his daughters and talk about how the Beatles were great until Rubber Soul?
The toilet over his head?
I don't remember the toilet. I remember he had his daughters and they had a band.
Right?
I think that's his name. But
I think so. And they sung they're like Christian Beatles songs, right?
Yeah. They were singing only early Beatles songs. He'd be like, oh, when they found the devil and started doing drugs at Rubber Soul. And yeah. So with Benjamin Skyrocket, we were playing at Steiner Ranch like 4 or 5 years ago. And Benjamin comes up to me after one of the sets and is like, dude, look at that guy. Is that that guy that used to play with his daughters? And I was like, I don't know. As we went up and saw him, it was him.
Wow. That's awesome. There was like that chick, Livia. That would take love questions.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
And be all sexy on the TV. And I was just going through my big breakup, and I decided to call.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And so I'm in fucking tears, calling it, and then they're my baby in love. And so I remember going back to the back room, and everybody laughing at me. Going,
you fucking your pussy, dude. You're making a hymen and your wife and your...
That hymen. Was you. It wasn't me, dude. Yeah. We know your voice, dude. It was you.
Yeah.
The old lady that was kind of like an older Marilyn Monroe with the two Elvis brothers.
Yeah.
Oh, she still does that
Austin
shit.
Austin Knights, I think. Oh, yeah, she
horrible.
Does.
Horrible. She sings and,
is that what
and
that is?
Lip syncs, right? And she puts two or three... things together, like
faded on top of each other.
Yeah.
It's horrible. And then they'll walk up to like a Learjet and they'll stand
in the limo,
acting like they're on the limo and act like they're getting in it. And then they don't cut the very end of it off, and there's people shooing them off. You know,
yeah,
fucking great.
So, as all of the great shows that you had, you talked to Alex a few times. Those are out there on YouTube. Your interview with Bill Hicks, legendary. I remember watching that when it happened. And some other things that I read in the Chronicle, that was Kevin Curtin, right?
Did the recent Chronicle story?
Yeah.
Yes, indeed. God bless Kevin Curtin.
Yeah, he's a great dude.
He owes me child support.
So when Hamill was playing, Hamill on Trial, it was Mercury Records seeing him on Capsize that got him in the door.
Inked him.
Got him his deal.
Mm-hmm.
Damn, that's fucking crazy, isn't it?
Isn't that crazy?
I mean, like a local fucking show having that much shit. But I
especially
think
like
awesome.
A weird solo acoustic guy, all of a sudden, like that's the guy getting the deal.
And it took him that many years to move because no one in Austin beat his ass for being the guy who moved here and got signed.
Right. That's right. True. That's true.
And then the fly in the Austin. But, you know, it's probably who he gave that product to. All of a sudden, there's a product.
No, honestly, you know? The story was they were just flipping through the channels in the hotel room and got the show.
Damn, that's amazing.
That's how it works, right?
Yeah.
I've been playing that motherfucker for 30 years.
Canceling tours to come play.
So let me ask you this also. With the Bill Hicks, it's in that American... What's the Bill Hicks documentary?
Oh, you're right. I try to... Man, here's my thing, man. When my friends... I love that my friends do stuff that is great and famous.
Kevin did that one, right, Booth? Or no?
I think so.
Yeah.
I just don't... I'm so disconnected from media.
Yeah.
Like, I love you, but when you were on Electro with Lars, you were on the road, I was just like... See when he comes back, you know? And we...
I respect
about,
the shit the out of that, by the way.
You know?
Yeah.
You've got a job to do.
Yeah.
And so... I only knew Bill as a friend.
You know what? I remember seeing you, and I think you and I met Johnny Ramone together at backstage at the Vans Warped Tour that we played.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah. And the homie from the Specials with Dickie.
I remember that.
I don't know if you were hanging out at that time, but that was like that hour I ran into him.
Yeah.
You, the guy from Rancid.
Oh, yeah.
Dickie from Mighty Boss Tones, who introduced me to the guy from the Specials.
Yeah.
Like in an hour. I'm just like, what?
Yeah.
It was so cool, man.
That's insane.
Yeah.
So did, I don't remember if in the Kevin... Kevin Gant documentary. Did you see that one that the Duplass brothers did?
Sure.
I'm sure those guys watched your shows all the time.
They emailed me to get some footage.
Such right.
Nice. I mean, those guys are all about the art.
Oh, yeah.
Replicator.
Yeah.
Replicator. I see why Kevin Gant was in the movie.
Yeah.
Right. Not Nathan.
Yeah. Boy.
Dude floated.
I love that guy so much. And we all were asking that same question. Where'd he go? And that's why they made that movie. And I'm glad that they used your footage. Because I didn't talk to Jay. I emailed with Jay, I guess, who's the one that directed it. Mm-hmm. Mark is just like the producer guy or something. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But those guys were around because when I emailed Jay, I was like, oh my God, you did this thing with Kevin. It's so unbelievable. Like, do you know how to get a hold of him? Because I have this podcast. And he was like... I was like, I can't believe I'm talking to you. I love your work and whatever. And he goes, I can't believe Mr. Rocket Baby is emailing me. And so I guess those guys were around during that time a lot.
The show all
and
the time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They
so
were
isn't he
show.
Still, he's still playing.
Twitter is his main outlet.
Kevin?
Kevin is all over Twitter, records stuff, then puts it up.
Yeah. I don't think he's really playing out at all.
Never has.
You
might catch him down on the street wherever he feels like playing when he's got some music to play. He doesn't do the venues, I'm a musician thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he had a whole scene like with the Chicago House at that point, like in that early 90s.
Good
soul,
heart.
Yeah.
And like an old, I don't want to say old, but like an old soul
that's
really fucking got it down.
Yeah.
And he's the only guy, well, there's been a handful that I've seen literally float a couple of inches off the ground when he rolls his eyeballs back and he's playing.
Yeah.
It's like there's
he goes into a place
fucking through him that lifts him up to be Kevin Gant that everybody
sees.
And, at least knows.
And his unique... I mean, that's really, that's not, there's no other way to say it. His unique style, you guys played those videos all the time. That's how he was like a household name to the whole music community and anybody who watched it. He was actually famous.
So that was what's cool, because then that became the norm of what Austin music was, because they got a chance to see that.
You definitely set part of a scene, it felt like, which was great. And we, to a certain degree, have made a dent there as well, which I just wanted to kind of say, you know, all this passion we, all of us three talking right now, at least, have about that period in time is magic. And Johnny has grown into another world that I see less of. Mm-hmm. Nathan and I have different worlds, although I see his because we equally tried, maybe not equally, because he gave more work to me than I gave to him on this music he likes, but we tried to see bands.
Well, it was like when we went to
One-to-One?
Yeah, One-to-One.
Or Elephant. Either one, yeah.
Yeah, and that's kind of the places that, the musicians that I and the music that I like, you know? Mm-hmm. We were at One-to-One, and I was checking out Glenn Rexachi. That's how you say his name, he told me. Glenn Rexachi. And he's a hell of a fucking guitar player playing that Strat. And
Black Pearl.
Black Pearl, that's right. And David go, what the hell am I doing in here, man? This is all weird. That's it.
Yeah.
It's great. Yeah. But yeah, so we try and go out and do different.
And he was like, hey, do you know this drummer? He used to play with this guy and that guy, and he's been doing Frank Zappa or something. And I'm like,
we were laughing about that, because when we go out, everybody says, hey, man, this is David. And people go, man, this is Nathan, you know?
Yeah.
And then when we go out to where I hang, it's like, oh, Nathan, it's great to fucking see you. It's my friend Dave.
Yeah, yeah.
Kind of, it's like, it flips, you know?
So the point I want to make,
and I'd love a story from Hall.
You like that, because the point I'm making is that the passion is there today.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm still doing it. And, you know, I haven't had a chance to see play your own music, which you've done a handful of times recently, and I regret it's that. It's
becoming more obscure.
Yeah.
My audience is becoming more selective.
Yeah. I think it's their age and their bedtime.
But yeah. I do. I mean, I play it like 8 now. That's my
intimate shows.
Yeah.
Then I play a lot of intimate shows.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, me too.
It's like, fuck.
So you fell in love.
I did.
I don't want to say this is not, I don't mean this disparagingly, and I don't know this lady, but there are some that will view her as the Yoko Ono of the Austin music scene, who took John away from Paul.
Stand up, bro. I don't know about him.
She said she is proud to take on the title, and she'll poke an eye out at the drop.
I don't mean anything bad. I'm glad to see you happy. Yes, you have dedicated in all of this conversation, all of the years that you guys have put in, 28 years that you've put in, all of the work that you've done, all the bands that you've brought to the foreground.
Yes, dude, brother, you're
good.
All
right. I
love it. That's good. Awesome, dude. You got balls of steel, Johnny Gowdy.
I mean it in all love. I don't know her. Totally, and nothing makes me happier than to know that you're going to be happy. You know what I mean?
Man, absolutely. Not Austin. Yeah.
No, I know.
You know what I mean? Like,
well,
I'll speak,
but... when he emailed me, I think I just wrote back, what the fuck?
He totally did.
Shut up. No. Don't even say that to me.
What was
now do I have to move? Is that what's happening? What am I going to move to, Ann Arbor or something?
No,
Nashville. No.
Let's all go on tour with Anar. I like this idea.
Yeah. Yes. Let's go on tour with Anar.
Yeah. The thing is, whenever he emailed me...
Oh, he said to say hi. I saw him earlier today. I told him I was going to see you guys.
Send him my love, man.
He's a great dude. Are you sitting down?
Yeah.
I said, what? Dude, I'm moving. And I just fucking...
To East Austin?
You know what I mean? And so he goes, nah, bro, we put in our time. I want to go in on top. Because I've known Dave and, like, personally real what happens every day. And she was going to come down here. There was that big of a connection. And Dave wanted to get out of Austin, so he's going to be coming in from the outskirts.
She visited. We weighed the options, you know, and looked at the home cost in Austin, relocation versus my current state of hate and happy.
Yeah.
What's the percentage?
Yeah.
And weighed that and went, yep, mm-hmm, bye bye.
Yeah.
Like, really? And it blew. First off, being a partner, right?
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck? Next off is how the. I've known Dave not happy for a couple of years now. And that's just on the inside. I'm only sharing it with all thousands of you all over the world. But we need to keep this between us.
Right.
But. He hasn't. He's been trying to come up with the next level, and there's been something that has been missing that he tried to do with more work. Right. And I'm going, fuck, dude, I've got two bands. I write for Rockstar Magazine. I'm fucking, damn, you know?
Yeah.
And so finally took a couple of tries, but man, I think he found something that really, really makes him happy. He glows.
It's important.
Glows.
Man.
Yeah, man. Yeah. But then, like, the stingy, you know?
Yeah, of course. It's part like, of me.
What the fuck? And then the next question is, well, fuck, Nathan, when are you going to start?
Oh, yeah.
Well, look, man, I've been tied to this fucking town for 30 years.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, give or take a couple, 2 to 3 years, but man, that's 30 fucking years.
Yeah.
I chose not to tour. I chose not to tour the world. I chose to be here every weekend because I felt that I could reach more people doing what we do.
Yeah.
Right? So I understand. Now Dave isn't tied to this town again anymore. He's going to go and be.
Yeah.
So there's some kind of freedom that comes with that angst, anger.
Yeah.
All the feelings as a brother.
Yeah.
You know? The fuck. Dave's happy.
Yeah.
That's really what matters. Yeah. In the big picture of everything, motherfucker wasn't happy. He found something that really fucking kicks him off. And just, yeah.
Yeah, so, that's you know, the about. Timing, too, you know, was kind of like this thing where our lease was coming up. My two boys and I were living in a place in South Austin, and they had signed the paper already, and I was getting ready because the clock was ticking. We had to get it turned in, and I realized I hadn't signed it yet, and this all went down. So in the course of this going down and it becoming, I'm going
3 days
there or she's coming here.
Yeah.
Not only did we have to figure out what's up with that lease, the next weekend's show was the last show of that season. So I either signed on for 3 more months that I could still be doing the show.
Right.
But then I'd have thrown away 2.5 months of this new season or whatever. So why sign on?
Right.
So all of a sudden, next weekend's show is the last show.
Like he was like.
Yeah, and so I talked to my son because we worked, you know, just because we live under the same roof doesn't mean you see each other. My boys are 21 and 23, you know, so I did see my younger one more because we worked at the same place and I ran into him and I was like, oh, hey, I was about to fill out the lease. So I wanted to touch base and go, hey, this is going on, whether it's now or in a year, I see this happening. And he's like, oh, well, that's funny because. Your older son, my brother, is looking at apartments with his girlfriend right now. I'm thinking they already signed the lease that we're.
Yeah.
What am I missing? You know. Like, yeah. Well, that's great. What if? And he's like, "Oh yeah, I have an option, and it's good." And I'm like, "Oh,
wow.
Okay.
All of a sudden,
well, bye."
The TV, the kids.
I raised two amazing kids. They're ready to rock this world, man.
Yeah,
they're doing their own thing. What else have I got here? I've done great for the bands and the scene, lighting fires in various genres that never would be seen anywhere else.
Yeah,
guess who needs that now? Virginia's for Lovers, baby.
Yeah, baby.
I'm ready. I've got gigs booked. I've looked at the venues.
That's what it said. That's what it said in Kevin's article, man. All right. Well, I mean, I'm very happy for you. And
he gets giggly. It's fucking gross. And when we hang out, he's got her on the fucking face thingy.
Yeah.
And they're like talking and they'll sit and we'll do the show and you look over and she's just checking everything out. It's like man, I had to up my insulin.
Yeah.
Because it's just so sweet, you
know? Yeah.
And you don't get that, man. You don't get that. It's awesome. It's awesome. You know? It sucks because then all of a sudden there's this void. Yeah. And the people that I've heard are going to fill the void. How do you say this? Not
well, we got to give people a chance.
How do you not say they're whack, man?
Yeah.
They have no validity.
Oh. Yeah.
You know, and you know what I'm saying?
I do know exactly what you're saying.
They have no validity. So then do you sign on and do something that will never, ever reach the stratosphere of what Dave TV is? Capsize? Which is held in, like, in our minds as this, it's like church almost.
Yeah,
you know?
An institution.
So how do you continue to do that? Do I want to do that? And it's like, fuck, I don't know. But, you know, with him leaving so fast, there is a big, giant void now that once again, this town expected to turn on the TV and see. Right? You expected to go to Raw Time, YouTube, whatever, and see it because it was there for so long that it became a second thought. Oh, if I want to see that band, I can just see it on the YouTube. Oh, if I want to, you know what I mean? And I think that's one reason why also not only love and happiness, but also that feeling of, well, what the fuck? Why do I even try? We did a show called Lifers with Stephen Larson, and he filmed a bunch of us, Bones Large, the saxophone player, awesome smoking blind cat, Don Walzer, Jason McMasters. Anyway, goes on, and I was there doing it. So shout out to Stephen Larson, Wonder Bread. But it was Don Walzer, and he had his hat on, and he tilted, and he didn't move very much, but he says, you know, I'd be doing this whether people came to see me or not. It's just, I'm a life. It's what I do. You know? Yeah. So that's what I would tell Dave.
I love that guy.
Yeah, but that's what I would tell Dave. It doesn't matter who the fuck is listening or watching. You fucking kick ass every time.
Yeah.
You continue to do better shows, and it showed in our numbers over and over and over.
Yeah.
So anyway, I rattled off a little bit too long on Dave being happy.
So if people continue to follow DaveTV.org, we'll be learning about new bands in Norfolk.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely. I'm actually going
to redesign. They might be coming down to tour. Our guys will be touring out there.
Good.
You know?
That's, man, crazy how many folks that actually make it through. So I'm excited about that. And of course, I'm coming back for Dave Fest in January, and I'm going to see everybody then.
Nice.
Got 3 days craziness, and shoot, it's all new because honestly, in my life, last 30 to be a testament, I've done nothing but the TV show, raise my kids, hold a job, keep a roof, break even, not one vacation, never left the state of Texas. So
yeah,
this will be the first time.
That's
and
insane.
We got tons of,
dude,
you know,
30 years,
vacation stuff planned.
30 years good. We've been planning for this.
Well, you deserve it, man.
I'm
I mean,
excited.
You've done, if people should know this, and I know it's in the Chronicle article, is that you've done this all the 30 years, both of you guys, for nothing.
Yeah.
You just do it because you love doing it.
Yep. And as far as that goes, while we're there, you know, Dave Fest raised funds for us to do what we do. We bought GoPro cases for the GoPro, every bit of money.
Yeah, but you weren't exactly like, I make money off this podcast to keep it on the air and buy stickers.
So the next part is the last Dave Fest 5. Yes, please throw a couple bucks in. I know I'm leaving your town. You can also write fuck you on it if you'd like.
Yeah.
But I got to keep going and keeping gear, and I'm going to do new print and everything for where I'm going. So it's cool. If not, I'm going to do it either way, which has always been the motto, except for the last 5 years where people have been kind enough to kick this in.
Yeah.
Because Derek from the Worthless Humans got that ball rolling. God bless the guy.
Right.
And I never wanted to do it. And it still feels really freaking weird.
Yeah.
But if I'm going to go out, I'm going to go out and make sure that I start over well.
Yeah.
And that's what's going to happen.
That new laptop was fucking off the
road. Laptop. Yeah. It's
that's
helped
good.
Me break out more videos for everybody like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
that's awesome. Yeah. Man.
That's great.
Yeah. It does suck though. Like, I understand. I understand. But, you know, Johnny, it's kind of like if you were to stop doing this podcast and you, I've been listening, staying kind of on the outskirts, you know, don't fucking raise a bunch of hell, but you know, you got some great fucking shit and you're a real dude that knows what's going on.
Thanks, man.
So that's what gives it validity.
Yeah.
But then all of a sudden for you to stop doing that and have some quack that has no, not
quack. I sound bitter and egotistical.
No, I know what you mean.
But you know, then to come up and do a half-assed job at what you got to do. So then all of a sudden, do you stop doing it? You know?
Well, I mean, eventually you would have to stop doing it. And somebody, hopefully, will be there, if not many people, to fill in that one void.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, I know there are, you know, there are some fans that I see almost every time I go somewhere to see a show.
Nobody will work at it fucking harder than this dude.
No.
Dude.
Like, no, that's why it might take a bunch of them to fill it all in, you know?
Well, that's great. Like, I more the merrier.
We used to reference, when I talked to Kevin, I told him about the Pocket Fisherman's Fish Fry, 16 fucking bands or 18 bands or whatever. Dave geeked out on that shit so hard
that he had
a setup in one stage, and then the little stage up front had a setup there. The lights suck there at the front stage of a hole in the wall. So Dave brought his own lights, clipped those motherfuckers on every band that came up. He fucking set them up right differently because every band had
3 members, 5 members, 7 members.
So he would do all that. And then we went back and forth and back and forth from 2 o'clock till motherfucking 2 o'clock. It was fucking crazy as shit.
Yeah.
And that's and then to go home and then get 2 or 3 or 5 bands on YouTube the next morning. Mm-hmm. It's just like, fuck, Dave.
And that was the Pocket Fishman's of the Fish Fry, which I was honored to be a part of every year that goes down. It benefits the Wildlife Foundation. Bill Hicks was involved with, so that was a pleasure. But it was kind of like I want to knock this out of the ballpark kind of thing. There were 2 studios I created, so to speak, from the front and the backstage, and I wasn't going to... I had enough gear to split it instead of, you know, and with him and I just walking back and forth and the stationary cameras on both sides, an analog set up here, digital set up there, it was... And then, it was magical. I loved it.
Dave even set up his own recording. They had the sound and the PA that they had. Dave brought his own fucking board and mic'd everything.
The front stage.
Mic'd the guitars. It's like, who the fuck is going to put that much work in it?
No,
it's
that's like, what I'm saying.
I was tired just watching him. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's fun. It's inspiring. It's why we do as artists what we do. What inspires you?
Yeah.
I'm a geek, dude. I'm a geek.
What did he say? What did he say? I'm geeking out so bad on this fucking shit. This is badass. Yeah. And I'm sitting there, man. My knees are throbbing, and it's only 3 bands in. It's like, you motherfucker. What am I doing here? You
know. So Dave Fest takes place in January?
Yep. This year, last year, the Dave Fest 5, January 10, 11, 12 at Kick Butt, and 10 and 11 is traditional. We've always been 2 days, rock bands, bam, 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 you know, all day long, Friday and Saturday. Sunday, I have one of those mashup things everyone's probably seen a version of, whether it's the punk rock lottery or whatever.
Right.
But we did a thing where we drew 10 leaders of bands out of random numbers that were submitted. Those 10 leaders are going to pick numbers, which hasn't happened yet, and create their own bands. And my thing, not rules or whatever is like, do about 3 or 4 songs of whatever covers you want to do. I don't care if you have a theme or who they are, what they are, but one song after would be a local band.
Right.
So do one local cover.
You wanted to do a cover night of cover bands.
It was a big idea that Sunday, you molded down to that.
And then, you know, it was like, hey, why don't we...
I couldn't afford Skyrocket.
Right. Nobody can afford Skyrocket.
I think you didn't even ask, though.
I'm scared. Have you heard of those guys?
Yeah, but I mean, there's... January 12th,
we got a slot.
Okay. I'll email the guys after this thing.
I'd love to have you. You could be like the headliner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah,
see how that works. That until you decided, Johnny.
Everybody,
that happened again at the steamboat.
I'm
20
sorry.
Years ago.
I'm sorry,
fucking Johnny Gowdy.
What did I do? I just was excited. I think my band would drop. I love you too, man. Is there? Let's as we wind this thing down. What are the? What are you going to miss the most? Do you even know?
You know, as much as I'd love to say the friendships and the brothership, that's not going away, so I can't miss it.
Right.
You know? So
right.
I'm still going to be in touch. I'll be visiting. You know what I'll miss is, and I thought about it the last, here's an example, and you know, put any number of my favorite bands in this spot. But I was working at the time and got off on a Wednesday night, and I happened to notice that the Bolies were playing at Hotel Vegas. And I didn't know before, and I didn't plan on going, but I was like, I can make it. I'm just going to drive down after work and see the Bowleys. And it was just walk in, pay the cover, watch the band, chill out. Even at that point, I just needed that, and I went home because I just wanted to see the Bowleys that night. And no disrespect to anyone else, but it's like, bam, 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 and went home. So although I'll probably find other bands that I can do that with, I will miss going to see my friends in the middle of the week, the drop of a hat, you know, just because I've got some free time and happen to notice they were playing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's every night in this fucking town.
Exactly.
It's pretty unbelievable. Yeah.
Yeah. Beautiful. It's a beautiful city.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful city. Everybody says the scene isn't the same, but you got to roll with the changes, man. Yep. And this is our scene.
And I will say that I visited Guadalupe, South First, Mount Bonnell.
Steve Bernal.
I visited Steve Bernal personally. But Mount Bonnell, and what was the other place? The Pennybecker Bridge.
Yeah, yeah.
As a tourist, because honestly had never done those things as an Austinite.
Right.
Did it all within 3 hours. So everybody that lives in Austin that hasn't done it for whatever reason, I feel really vulgar saying fuck you, but I'm going to say fuck you because we've already said it so many times.
Yeah.
But no, go do yourself a favor and see something that's still here.
Yeah.
See something that's still here.
Do it.
Or else, people, you'll take it for granted. And one day you wake up, and then you're going to fucking write about it in the Chronicle, and everybody's going to want you on the fucking podcast, and the radio's going to be, and fuck you, do it while it's happening, so we don't have to make this big fucking shit about it. Fuck, people. Like, I mean, really, you got to tell
them. Just show up, man.
Show up.
Even if you're not playing.
What does it take to click, put it in the background, and know what the fuck's going on whenever you're going to ask the dude the next day if you can do his fucking show? Fucking do your homework, people. Quit being so fucking lazy in this goddamn town and complaining that it's fucking changed. Because you changed, you cocksuckers. You changed. And if you had the same passion and put out tickets on cars like we used to have to do.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Remember? Ticket night. Let's try this.
I have a Mr. Rocket Baby ticket.
Let's try this.
Really?
Yeah.
You go for the opening band that's opening for you, and you stay.
Yeah.
Let's start with that, you fucks. Come on, people. Just because Dave's leaving, you know, there's reasons why, and we are part of that reason. So then use this as a call right now to get off your ass and support and fucking do, and even if it's not music, do the arts. Yeah. Because this town is filled with so many talented people that sacrifice so much to do it for you, to take it for fucking granted. Come on, people. It's a sad day, Dave. Yeah. I love you to fucking death.
Oh, I love you, man. And it's not hard, man. Just, and I'm not trying to be some example, as you put it, man, but it's kind of, I did a little of everything you say, right? Like, go when you don't want to.
Yeah.
Stay all night. It's part. I'm not going to go and shoot a bunch of pictures of the first two bands and then not get the last one.
Yeah
there's six bands, and it's not easy, but
might not film them because they suck.
Yeah.
Oh, don't you? Yeah, that's a whole other thing.
I love how Nathan's crying 1 second, then it's like the greatest joke right afterwards.
Well, I always had him in my life.
Crying, you know? You're crying.
Man, I love you guys. And Dave, guys. Dave, you will definitely be missed. If everyone goes out and picks up 1% of the slack that you're leaving behind, then maybe through everyone we'll achieve some sort of Dave-ness here. But I wouldn't expect one person to do. You're a unique person, and what you did won't be replaced.
Well, thank you, brother.
There's no way.
Honored to make a second appearance on this thing, man.
Yeah, man. Well, you make more. We got to talk before Dave Fest and
absolutely
do that, even if we do it on the phone.
Be rad. Hey, how about between now and then? Because I've tried all the years I've known you.
Okay.
When I've been on here, I'm on here now, and I just don't hear the opportunity. So I'll just go find a way to introduce me to Kathy Valentine and Amy Mann.
Okay.
At least one.
Amy Mann would be tough because I don't talk to her very, but I talk to Kathy regularly.
But you've done some great work with some amazing people, and I'm very envious of
their talent. I keep the picture of Amy. No picture of Kathy here.
Kathy, you got to get a photo with Johnny. You might know him.
But I didn't know you didn't know her.
I'm a big fan. Never had the opportunity just to go say hey and stuff, but I'm a big fan. So we'll work that out.
She's doing a thing. When is that Do Re Me Too thing at Joe's Coffee? They're backing up a bunch of people. It might be next week.
Well, good.
If that's the case, we'll do it.
Yeah, rad.
All right, dude. Thanks for doing this. Thank you for everything you've done.
Thank you, John.
Thank you for everything you do. And you know what? You know, as sad as Austin's going to be, Norfolk's really fucking lucky. They don't know what they're getting yet.
Yeah, you know what? If they don't like it, I ain't quitting.
They won't. There's no way they won't like
it, dude.
Awesome,
brother.
Thank you for everything. Nathan, thank you for everything, dude.
Ah, man, I'm just glad that you let me in.
Thanks for running security.
I walk outside, there's a guy in a mask. I still knew it was you. I'm like, hey, Nathan, what's going on?
That's funny.
Dude, love you guys. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Johnny.
Yeah.
Woo-hoo. And the music.
Oh, Austin's going to miss Dave Pruitt, huh? I want to thank Nathan and Dave for coming by. It was great getting to talk to him. Norfolk's getting a great present, man. We're going to miss Dave. Yeah, what a magical, magical dude, man. I've loved that guy for a long time. Continue to love him. I'm going to follow him. You can find him on davetv.org. Don't forget that. He'll be coming back for Dave Fest in January, so go to davetv.org. Follow him on the socials. Follow Nathan on the socials. Nathan's Stupid Drama. Let's get it on, baby. Man, well, I'm going to miss that guy. So yeah, Saturday night. Hopefully you listened to this when it came out. On Saturday night. Same time as Capsize. Maybe you're coming home from the bar. You're listening to it now. Remind you of the 90s? Maybe so. Love those guys. Hey, don't forget when you're out there checking out davetv.org, you can find us on any of the places where they stream the podcast, including Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Overcast, anywhere you find podcasts, you will find a new show every Tuesday and every Friday, and every once in a while, a special Saturday night dropping like this one. Once again, I want to thank Dave and Nathan for coming by and everything that they've done for the last 30 years. I love them. Love them. We're going to miss you, Dave Pruitt. Miss you big. All right. Have a great rest of the weekend, whatever it is you're doing. Let's get down.